Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Next week is our last Wednesday night Lenten service. So after tonight, we'll have only two more of Jesus' enemies preach to us. Because on Monday, Thursday, we will focus on Jesus' friend Peter. Go back one, would you please? Thank you. Thank you. Monday, Thursday isn't up there. Monday, Thursday is kind of out of the loop on the. That's when we're going to hear from one of Jesus' friends. And so the Roman centurion will be on Good Friday. Next week is the chief priests. But for tonight, it's the Roman soldiers who preach to us. There you go. There we are. And though the soldiers in the reading spoke in scorn, the truth of what they said is there. Jesus is King. Now, we've talked before in this series about Jesus as King in his first appearance before Pilate, and Pilate's wife at the time saying to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man," referring, of course, to Jesus. Tonight, we return to Jesus' office and role as King when he's addressed as King of the Jews by the Roman soldiers. I want you to listen to part of this again. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Now, these few verses tonight have meaning not only for that moment in time, but also in looking back from them into the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Christ, the Messiah, and forward to prophecies concerning the second coming of the Christ. These verses also speak to us in our day about what Jesus means to us as King. The crown of thorns that the soldiers make and force onto the head of Jesus take us all the way back to the fall of Adam. There, God promised Adam that thorns would be part of his trials on earth as he made his living by working the ground. And if you go forward into Ezekiel, it speaks there of thorns being with the Son of Man, a clear prophecy of these particular events. And there are other places also, and references in Scripture, where thorns foreshadow what Jesus endures at the hands of these mocking soldiers. These soldiers are carrying out Pilate's instructions to flog Jesus in hopes of satisfying the bloodlust of the Jews. If Pilate can buy them off with a flogging, then he can put this religious annoyance of these Jews who are jealous of Jesus behind him. So in carrying out their instructions from Pilate, the soldiers decide to have some fun at the expense of this Jew among Jews. And Jesus' appearance before Pilate, and then Herod, and then back to Pilate again, there has been talk that they have heard of kingdoms and kingship. So when these soldiers get Jesus alone in their hands, they decide that since the Jews have handed him over, saying he claimed to be a king like Caesar, and by the way, who opposed Caesar, they will address him as they would if Caesar came. They gave him the greeting that is due to royalty, to a monarch, to one who rules and reigns over others. To such a one is given honor. And this greeting that they say conveys that honor. But of course, all of this is done mockingly. They do it in jest. They do it in derision. They give him royal gifts. They give him a robe, the color of purple, which is a sign of royalty. They put on Jesus as they mock him, this robe. And since he must be a king, he must have a crown. And this takes us back to the thorns prophesied from the day of Adam's fall into sin. But if we take a moment and we also look ahead to what John recorded in his book of Revelations, we see there in chapter 19, verse 12, that diadems or crowns will adorn the head of him who does reign in heaven. The crown of thorns from these mocking soldiers foretell of the true crown that will decorate the brow of him who overcomes when he returns in power. Unlike those glorious crowns, however, under those glorious crowns, however, we will see the scars from these thorns. Also, remember that Jesus foretold that this treatment was to come, that the Son of Man would be delivered over to the Gentiles and be mocked and be scourged, flogged. You may have heard this before. I know I've told you before, but it bears repeating. This flogging, it was a cruel, cruel torture. It was designed to rip skin from flesh and flesh from bone. And in doing this, as he endured this, as they went through this flogging, they all addressed him as king. And after the flogging, they continued to slap him and to beat him. And still they called him king, king of the Jews, in a mocking and derisive fashion. You've heard of the phrase, adding insult to injury. That applies here very well. Mocking others comes easily to all of us. We do it on the play yard. Na, 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 na. And we do it in the workplace. We have little snide comments that we make. And at home, we know how to dig the knife into our loved ones just to the point of hurting, usually without going over the line. Mocking is not something that is that far removed from our lives. And that's perhaps why it's so offensive to us to hear of Jesus being mocked. We know that it can come from our mouths at the drop of a hat. These soldiers mocked Jesus with the words, King of the Jews! And as we said before, the irony of their derision is that they are, in fact, stating the truth. These are not the first foreigners, by the way, to label Jesus with the title King of the Jews. Here at his death, Jesus is mocked with this title, but at his birth, it was quite a different story. As we're told in the birth stories of Jesus, the wise men from the east came and sought him who was born King of the Jews. That's how they put it. And like the soldiers, they also presented Jesus with things that befit a king. Their three gifts, however, were given in reverence and honor and humility. The soldiers' gifts tonight, they come with scorn and torturous abuse. This title of king, then, we hear ascribed to Jesus both at his birth and now here again at his death. We hate what the soldiers here said and did to Jesus because we know that it was for us that our holy king suffered this mocking and this flogging. We also know that the words and attitude of the soldiers is what comes from our hearts of sin. The revulsion we feel at that knowledge is also the shame that we know to be ours. And it's for that revulsion, it's for that shame that Jesus endured this gruesome abuse before going to the cross to die. Jesus takes all of our sin, all of the guilt of our actions, all of that he takes on himself when he is mockingly called King of the Jews and as he is crucified. Yet we do know the truth of the soldier's words, because Jesus is our King. He's risen victorious from crucifixion. He is our sovereign, our liege, our master, our leader, our sole source of life, both now and into eternity. And like the thorns that were foretold from of old that Jesus suffered and endured in the form of a crown, and which tell of the crowns yet to come, Jesus is the promised King, the King now, and the King who is coming again. We have his word on it. To our King we give true honor and reverence and glory and praise now and forever. In his name we pray. Amen. May the words